1, sorry, James chapter 1, and it's 2. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know what that means? It's nap time, exactly. Now, I'm not worried about you. I'm actually worried about me. You know, if I start nodding off while I'm preaching along, just, you know, wake me up, throw something at me. My amen section's gone, though. She's gone downstairs, so. But afternoon naps, amen. Good old-fashioned Baptist nap. There's nothing better. But you guys, hang on a little bit. We'll get you home. And I think I ate too much, though. And one of the rules of preaching is you're never supposed to overeat. Don't eat too much before you preach. Well, I broke that rule today, you know. But I think I'll be able to get through. And this afternoon, I just want to look at acting on the facts. And James chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And when we think about this concept here, and really it is it's a concept or a principle. It's a principle that God gives us that we are not simply to be doers of the word or hearers of the word, sorry, that we are to be doers of the word. And the Bible says there that when we're only hearing and we're not doing, the Bible says that we are deceiving yourself. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to deceive? What does it mean to deceive? What's another word? What's a synonym? Lie. Who said lie? Lie. Deceive. Lie. So what we're doing is we're lying to ourselves. We're hearing in our ears and in our minds, but because our minds are not putting it into action, we're literally lying to ourselves because we're hearing it, we're not doing it. We're deceiving ourselves. We're not telling ourselves the truth about what and how we should be acting. You know, when we think about living, right? When we think about life, when I was growing up, there were some kids that they lived near this old abandoned house in Lambeth. It was all boarded up, and there was a rumor going around that this old guy by the name of Mr. Troupe still lived there in this old kind of haunted house. The problem was Mr. Troupe died years before this took place, but people still said he walked around in that old boarded up house. Now, when we were kids, we believed that. And, you know, we used to do adventurous stuff like kids do, you know, and we would go to other abandoned old houses and we would go in there and make little forts in there, whatever it would be. But this one house that was right on the main street there in Lambeth, we would not go into that house. What prevented us from going in there? Fear. Fear of what? Fear that Mr. Troupe was going to come and tap us on the shoulder, you know, even though he wouldn't be there. We believe that he was still there. We heard these stories and the rumors that were going around. Now, if we didn't believe that that was true, we would have had no problem going into that old house. You see, we always follow our beliefs. Our actions follow our beliefs. They will always follow our beliefs. Somebody said, well, you know, repentance isn't really, I shouldn't say someone said, lots of people say repentance is not necessary for salvation. Well, you can argue that statement if you want, or the semantics involved in that statement, but repentance is a part of salvation. And I'll explain this. When we are saved, there has to be a change of thinking. Because none of us, as unsaved individuals, are thinking the right way. We all have wrong thinking. We think wrong about hell. We think wrong about judgment. We think wrong about our own sin. Every man, the Bible says, is so willing to proclaim their own righteousness. Everyone you meet on the streets is a good person. They're thinking wrong about themselves. They don't understand. They don't understand that they're sinners and that they need Jesus Christ. And in order for someone, and should I say anyone, to be saved, there has to be a change or repentance involved in their thinking. There has to be. You know, where Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 3, repent, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the liberals will say, well, that's not talking about the repentance of your sin. That's talking about repentance in your belief. And yeah, you know what? They're right. It's talking about repentance in belief. Change your mind about who Jesus Christ is. And I could go on about other verses in the Bible that clearly talks about repenting, changing our mind or changing it as far as sin goes. But when we think about the change that's necessary, a change of thinking, and the Bible says that when we are saved, we are regened. We're regened. We get new genes. We get a new nature. And when we get that new nature, then and only then can we think right. Then and only then can we begin to have the right kind of ideology when it comes to who Jesus Christ is and what our sin is and who we are. The Holy Spirit illuminates our minds and our thinking to those things. And when a person is saved, when a person begins to realize that not only is their thinking wrong about Jesus Christ, but their life is not right with God, that our lives are not pleasing to Jesus Christ. And we repent, we change, our mind changes. And our action always follows what we believe. And if we truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, our actions will follow. If there's not a change, there's going to be no change in our behavior. You know, if we would have come to the realization as we grow up, thinking about Barney Fife, old adorable Barney Fife, in the one episode called The Haunted House, there was a rumor that Mr. Rimshaw, was still walking in that house as a ghost, and old Barney telling these little kids, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. But when he went to the house and got spooked out, he came back, and Andy says, well, what happened? I thought, what about that, nothing to fear but fear itself? And Barney said, well, that's what I got, is fear itself. I mean, that's it. But we would think when we get older, those stories of the haunted houses would change, and I would have no problem now walking into that old house at Main Street in Lambeth, because I know now, because my thinking has changed, my mind has changed, I would be able to go in there because I know Mr. Troopy's not there. He's somewhere 6 feet in the ground. So my actions would change because my thinking would change as well. The thinking always follows. And, no matter where we are in life and whatever it may be, I mean, things are going to change. We're going to have change in our life. But the one thing that God requires and God talks about is the fact that when we hear the Word of God, when you're in church and when I'm reading my Bible and devotions or whatever it may be, and God doesn't audibly speak to us, but when we read it, we're hearing. And when it's preached to you, you're hearing. And when you're meditating on it, you're hearing. And you're hearing the Word of God. And therefore, our actions should follow what we are reading. If not, the Bible says that we are deceiving ourselves. We are truly deceiving ourselves. And there's a lot of things out there people believe. Believe in haunted houses. Do you remember as a kid, your mom told you that if you go cross-eyed, your eyes will stay like that? Whose mom or dad told you that? Yeah. Well, sorry, mom and dad were wrong. Your eyes will not stay like that. Has anybody ever heard that your blood is actually blue in your veins and doesn't turn red until it hits oxygen? Have you ever heard that one? I've met some people that believe that. No, your blood is red in your veins. In fact, the more oxygen in your blood, the more oxygen your blood is exposed to, the pinker it becomes. So that's not true either. How about reading in dim lights or sitting too close to the TV damages your eyes? That's not true. How about you should wait an hour after eating before swimming? That's not true either. I used to believe this one for years and years and years. I used to believe this one, that if you cut your hair or shaving causes your hair to grow back thicker. That's not true. I was 48 years old when I finally came to that realization. I'm wrong. It hasn't helped my hair grow in. I've been cutting it all my life. It hasn't helped my hair grow in. Knuckle cracking causes arthritis. So all the kids or young people are going, all these things my mom and dad have been telling me all these years aren't true. How about this? We only use 10% of our brains. Well, the people that believe that do. That's it. Everyone else is good. Teething causes fever, runny noses, or diarrhea. That's not true either. And how about this? I don't know what's happened to our generation. All the important things in life, the young generation just don't get. How many people know or have heard, you know what it means when if somebody came to you and said the rabbit died? How many people know? Yeah. Well, some friends of ours in Tilsonburg, I said to them one day, I said, so the rabbit died. And they're like, huh? And they're not that much younger than I am. And I said, what do you mean, huh? And they said, what are you talking about? And I said, the rabbit died. You know, you're going to have a baby. What? Yeah, we are going to have a baby, but what's this about the rabbit? And I'm going, there's people in this world that don't know what it means to say when the rabbit died. Well, that is a statement that comes from the old original pregnancy tests. Now, yeah, but believe it or not, back years and years ago, if you wanted to know, ladies, if you were pregnant and they did a test, a rabbit would have to die. But here's the misnomer. The rabbit dies whether you're pregnant or not. To do the test, the rabbit has to die. So whether you're pregnant or not, the rabbit died anyways. But that's where that term comes from. The rabbit died anyways. So that's a misnomer that the rabbit has to die. So many more. There's so many more things out there. People believe they're not true. But the simple fact of the matter is people act on what they believe. We do. We act on what we believe always, always and always. The Bible says there that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And this is talking about action, getting into the action. And you know, talking about getting into the action. I know I use this illustration. I hope everyone forgot it because I think it's pretty good and it'll be all fresh to you again. But a guy wanted some action. This guy by the name of let me get his name straight here, Larry Walters. He was kind of bored in his life. So he decided that he worked at a weather place, and he decided to get about 6 old weather balloons, and he filled them up full of helium, and he tied them to a lawn chair. And he decided he wanted to go up a little higher. Now, according to his calculations, he figured he was going to go up about 400 feet. So one day, he had the chair strapped down. He put the weather balloons, filled them all up, and he grabbed himself a 6-pack of beer. I think he drank it before he went up. I don't know. But he brought a peanut butter sandwich with him. And he released that chair and the balloons and off he went. Well, he went thousands of feet into the air. And he drifted right over into one of the busiest airports in all of the United States, the Los Angeles airport. And so this plane is flying along and it looks out the window. And let me mention this as well. He brought a BB gun as well because he figured if he wanted to go down, he would shoot. But when he started going up so high, he froze and he couldn't move. So he never got the BB gun out of his belt. And one of the pilots called the control tower at the Los Angeles airport and said, you're not going to believe this. But right in the main airspace coming in, there's a guy in a lawn chair with a peanut butter sandwich in one hand, a beer in the other hand, and a gun in his belt. And no, I have not been drinking, you know. And so, anyways, they got police helicopters out there, and they got everything out there, and they finally brought this guy down back to earth, and he got in trouble. Let's just put it that way. Lots of trouble. And they asked him, would you ever do it again? What do you say? Of course, I'm never going to do it again. But, you know, he wanted something. You know, when we think about that story, it's crazy. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. But this guy simply had a desire to get into the action, to do something. And that's what God says to us here when he's talking about this verse. He says he wants us to get involved, amen? He doesn't want us sitting around in a lawn chair. He wants us soaring to new heights for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us involved. He wants us involved. You know, there's so many different ways that we can get involved. I mentioned in the Sunday school class this morning how I was able to talk to that one man yesterday at the yard sale and just getting an opportunity. This fellow, he was an older man, His mother just died, and she was said she was just about to turn 91 years old, and sounds like she was a saved woman, and I believe that he trusted the Lord. I do. And what he said. Yesterday, at that moment, he trusted the Lord because he said he knew he wasn't right with God. He knew what he needed to do. And, you know, we can, even during a yard sale, we can get busy for God and give people the gospel. I gave him a gospel tract. Met his wife a little later on. She came out. She was so thrilled. She said, I heard about that little talk and that little pamphlet you gave my husband. And she said, I was making these up for the funeral. And she says, I want you to have one to remember his mother. And, you know, a great opportunity. We have opportunities every day to share the gospel with people. You know, I'm not trying to say we shouldn't get involved in collective soul winning, but, you know, we have an opportunity every day, every single day, to get involved, to soar to new heights, to do great things for God. And you know, I've mentioned to people so many times as well, you know, if you have a dull life, you know, people complain today. And I don't know how anybody in the world today can have a dull life. Really. There's no reason for anybody to be bored today. Amen? We've got everything. We got phones and games, and we've got video games, and we've got ATVs, and we've got snowmobiles, and we got boats, and we've got all kinds of things we can drive to. We can go skiing at the mountain, and not now though. Don't do that now. Apparently they do have skis you can ski on grass, but I wouldn't recommend that. At least I've never tried it. But there's something to do. Always. Golf courses filled with people. There's all kinds of things to do. There's no reason for any of us to be bored. But if you are, just in case you ever get bored and you want to add a little excitement to your life, I challenge you, come out soul winning. Amen? You ask people that go door to door, is it exciting? Yeah. Is it scary? Yeah. Do you get afraid? Yeah. I said, well, that's what I did. I paid $150 down at Canada's Wonderland, did the exact same thing. Amen? Nobody got saved doing that. People pay good money to go get scared and, you know, alarmed and all that. Down at Canada's Wonderland, come on out and soul win. Or if you can't make it, go soul winning. Just go walk the streets. Amen? The one day we were soul winning there in Stainer, and I knew where the other people were, and they had a bigger area to do. And my area, because there were some townhouses, I ended up done pretty quick. And I noticed, I looked across the road, and there was a park. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go through... take a stroll through the park, and I start, stop, and talk to everyone. Everyone in the, it's funny, you go to somebody's door, and they're like, you know, trying to close the door back up, and they're standoffish. You go to the park, and everyone wants to talk. I think we should have a park ministry. Just go to parks, sit around. People, coffee shops. Everyone talks in coffee shops. You know how many times the world's problems have been solved in coffee shops? Millions of times. People talk there. People talk in your backyard over the fence. And those opportunities are there. You know, I went out in that park. You know, nobody trusted the Lord or anything, but I had better opportunities to talk to people in that park than I did when I was knocking on people's doors. There's always opportunities. And if you want to add some excitement to your life, try soul winning. Amen? You just never know what you're going to get. It's like Christmas when you're unwrapping that present. You have no idea what's inside. Monty Hall, I think his name was, and Let's Make a Deal. Door number one, door number two, and door number three. Man, you never knew what was behind that door. You knock on a door, and you could see somebody come to know Christ. You may get chased off. You don't know. But it's always exciting, amen, serving the Lord. You don't need balloons and lawn chairs and all of that to head up into the space. And God doesn't want us to be disguised or incognito Christians. God wants us to be out there serving Him, getting involved. In the Bible, as I mentioned, it says they're deceiving yourselves. There are a lot of Christians out there that go to church. There's a lot of Christians out there that hear but don't act. They don't act on it. People wonder, are they the genuine thing? In James chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And I'm using that verse here, I believe, to a mature group of people that understand there that the Bible does not teach that we're saved by works. We understand we're not. But we know by the context of James there that he says that if we are saved, works will follow. Remember, action follows our beliefs. It always follows our beliefs. And you know, when we think about behavior, you know, there's been debates going, raging for years and years and years about how to properly raise children and how to properly discipline, and discipline doesn't work, and you've got to reason with them. Yeah, well, you try to reason with a three-year-old. You know, there's a certain time when they can reason, and you do talk to them, and you should always talk to them before discipline and after discipline. But the problem is that we don't need to change our thinking. We don't need to change our behavior. We need to change our thinking. And when somebody starts acting wrong and somebody starts doing wrong, it's because their thinking is wrong. Somewhere along the line, the thinking is what needs to be changed. They're thinking about life and about God and about who God is. And when we as Christians start changing our thinking, then we're going to start changing our acting. We're going to change how we act. The Bible says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. In other words, I'm going to show you that I believe by how I act. I gave an illustration witnessing to a guy years and years ago, because he kind of said he believed. He said, well, I've always believed in Jesus. And I said, well, what has been in your life to prove that you believe in Jesus? And he says, well, nothing really. And I said, well, listen, if you were on a desert island and you were stranded way, way out in this desert island, and you had for years worked and worked and worked and worked to try to find a way off of that island, but you decided you liked it there. And one day somebody came along and said, listen, you've got to get off of this island, because in about 5 days, this island is going to sink. And we've provided a way for you to get off of this island. Now that person on that island has two choices. They can either say yes or they can say no. And whether they say yes or whether they say no is going to be based on what? What they believe about that guy's message. Do I or do I not believe that that island is going to sink in 5 days? And I would say, just like you would, that anyone who would say, well, where is this way off the island, because I'm heading there, where's the boat, where's the plane, where's the helicopter, where's the bridge, I believe what you're saying, and I'm going. I'm going. But if that individual didn't believe, they would say, you know what? I don't want to listen. I don't believe what you're saying. I'm staying right here. But you know, there's a third person there as well. And that's the person that would say, you know what, yes, I do believe, but I believe the island's going to sink, but I'm not leaving. I'm just going to stay right here. I know you've given me an escape. I know you've given me a way off this island after all these years, but I'm not going. And there we would have to question, does that person really believe? Because the actions always follow our beliefs. James makes that very clear. And then when we think about that, the denial of the facts, people denying the truths of the word of God, James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And here's a guy who James talks about, who is a hearer of the word. He hears it. The Bible tells him who he is. Yet the Bible says there he just walks away, and he doesn't even consider what he's just heard or what he's just read. He's been deceived, and he is a deceiver. Don't just brush away the fact that God has just revealed to you. If God is showing you something in His Word, don't brush it off. Listen to what God says. Listen to His voice and follow Him. Knowledge always has to be acted upon. There was a group of scientists who studied a tribe in Africa, and they don't know why, but people in this one particular tribe, they were dying at a very young age. So the scientists went over there, and they wanted to find out why these individuals were dying. What was the problem? Well, they found out after some research that there was a disease that was killing these people. The disease was transmitted by an insect that lived in the walls of their home. This knowledge, again, they've been given information. This knowledge presented several options to them. They could move to another area where such insects did not exist. They could tear down their homes and rebuild new ones. They could burn their homes out. They could use insecticide to rid their homes of these insects. Or they could just continue as they have been and continue to die early. And so the scientists presented all of these different options to these natives. And surprisingly, the natives, they decided to remain unchanged and continue as they were. Many people believe or behave similarly. Many people know how to be saved, but they remain unchanged. Many Christians read the Bible, but they remain unchanged. To change, we must acknowledge the facts of our need to change. And then we've got to act on those facts. We've got to see what God says about them. And then we've got to change. We've got to turn. We've got to begin to think differently. And if God has shown you an area this afternoon, maybe it's something you've been trying to work on. God can change you. God can do things in your life that we've only begun to tap and fully understand. Let's be doers and not just hearers. Father, thank you for this time together this afternoon, and we thank you for the meal that we're able to have and the spiritual food that was given to us as well. And as we consider what's been before us here today, Lord, you want active, busy Christians serving you, getting involved. God, I pray you continue to bless us. And I pray if you've spoken to hearts this afternoon that you would continue to do that. And we would even see somebody act on what you've talked to them about today. As we have this altar call, may you work in hearts. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Let's stand together.